Welcome to Sports Spectrum, the sports and faith podcast that brings Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hey everyone, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. Our email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. jason@sportsspectrum.com. You can reach me there and check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. And we are presented today by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. Every child through Compassion is discipled in the Word of God. Over 150,000 children have chosen to follow Jesus Christ in the last year alone because of Compassion. Learn more by going to the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and pray about releasing a child from poverty today. We're also presented by IJM, International Justice Mission. And I want you to really think about how you can become a freedom partner, setting slaves free, putting owners behind bars. Man, the work that IJM does is so important. Check out their website, ijm.org/TF, ijm.org/TF, and learn how you can join the fight to end slavery in our lifetime today. Cat Osterman is our guest today on Sports Spectrum, one of the most decorated college softball players ever. She ended her college career with records in wins, strikeouts, ERA, WHIP, innings pitched. She still holds the NCAA Division I record for perfect games and is top 10 in wins, strikeouts, shutouts, and no-hitters, all at the University of Texas. A four-time, that's right, four-time Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. Every single year she pitched, she was the Pitcher of the Year in the Big 12. Had a career record at Texas of 136-25, and her ERA was a minuscule 0.50. 2,265 strikeouts in just 136 games. Domination. In 2004, she led USA softball to an Olympic gold medal with the likes of Jenny Finch on that team. She had two wins and a save in the Olympiad and got that gold medal in 2004. In 2008, she helped the Team USA, to a silver medal and then went on to a professional softball career. And just recently, in 2018, she announced that she was unretiring from softball to make a run at one more Olympic gold medal in 2020, or at least what was expected to be 2020 in the Olympics. But of course, the Olympics, as everyone knows, because of the coronavirus outbreak, has been delayed, probably for about a year. So at some point, it might be 2021 when we're watching the Summer Olympics. Kat Osterman is hoping to be a part of the USA Olympic softball team, a team that she's already made and I would assume would continue to be on going forward. In 2012, she was inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame and is a two-time ESPY Award winner for the top collegiate female athlete in 2005 and 2006. I could keep reading all the accolades, but at this point, I'm going to shut up because I want you to hear the conversation that Kat Osterman and I had about softball, about the Olympics, about the coronavirus, and even most importantly, about Jesus. Take a listen to Kat Osterman joining us here on Sports Spectrum. Kat, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. We're taping this in late March, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, of course. What's these past few weeks been like for you? Obviously, from a softball perspective, and we'll talk about that, it had a huge effect. But just from you as a family person, what's that been like for you?
You know, one, it's a lot of family time.
Which can be good or bad, right?
Right. The softball tour was suspended on March 11th. And at that point in time, we all headed home. And so we've been home since then. And, you know, it means homeschooling my stepdaughter on the weeks she's with us. It means trying to figure out, you know, how to work out still. I have a Peloton, so I'm on that daily. I think I made a joke this morning with somebody. I think I'm on a 10-day streak, so I'm trying to see how many days in a row I can go, knowing I'll never touch this streak again after that.
There you go.
But then it's just one of those of trying to also, like, keep doing some bodyweight circuits or lightweight circuits, whatever I have at the house. I wish that, you know, we could all have a full gym at our house, but unfortunately that's not the reality of things. So
Sure.
The few weights I have, I'm trying to do them as much as possible just to keep moving. I mean, I know at my age right now, if I stop, it's going to be hard to start again. So we're just going to keep going.
That's kind of what happened here, right? For you, in the sense of when you unretired from softball, you kind of had to start this whole cycle of getting prepared and getting ready to participate in Olympics, what was supposed to be this summer. So you've got to keep that going if you want to keep going in 2021, right?
Yeah. So we were, cut 4.5 months away from being able to take the world stage. And so, yeah, now, we're not quite sure when they're postponed to yet, but we have at least another 6 to 8 months to prepare. And if not 12, and hopefully we can make the most of that. But yeah, it's, you stop right in the middle of actually when we were ramping up.
Yeah.
And you have to take a step back and figure out, okay, without knowing the exact date, what do I have to do? So there's so many unknowns, but I think as an elite athlete, you can always adjust, and so that's kind of what we're doing, is trying to accommodate and adjust.
What was the initial reaction to hearing the news that the Olympics were postponed? Were you surprised that it actually took as long as it did? Did you think it would be sooner or later? What was your reaction?
I wasn't shocked at all. I was expecting it. As I said, we suspended tour on the 12th, pretty much the same time NBA came out, or right after NBA came out and canceled their season, or suspended their season for the time being.
Yeah.
And, I just knew inevitably it looked like it was going to go that way. I mean, you have entire countries shutting down, and slowly but surely the U.S. is following suit. And not only are we talking about people's health, of putting, 11,000 athletes or however many athletes in one place together within 4 months, but at the same time, the Olympics are about being the best of the best competing all together. And when your training is impacted the way it's going to be with so many of us, like, you're not going to get those athletes best. And so I think it was inevitable. I mean, it's a little bit of a disappointment, but at the same time, I kind of expected it. So for me personally, it was more of a relief of, okay, at least we know it's postponed. And now once we get a date, you can set a new plan and start to work again.
When did this kind of, I guess this whole thing kind of enter into your radar? For me, it was the Sunday before the NBA got suspended, and that was kind of the catapult to everything else going away. I was at church, and we had church service, but we weren't shaking hands that week. We were elbowing, and we had a lot more hand sanitizer than we normally did, but it still wasn't like this is going to just take over and impact the way it did. When did that start to go on your radar?
Well, I think there was a point in time when we were on tour and, we were told only use the pens that they were handing us. So like, don't take a pen from a fan, and don't get close enough to take selfies to where your heads are like right next to each other and stuff like that. And then as I watched, and, being from Central Texas, South by Southwest in Austin is a massive festival every year for every industry practically now. I think they've branched out to be everything. And when that got canceled, I was like, all right, this is serious, because that's a big, you think about canceling the World Series in Oklahoma City for NCAA, like, that's Oklahoma City, a good chunk of profit they have every year, in South by Southwest, the same way with Austin. So when I saw that canceled, I was like, all right, this is going in a way where a lot of things are going to start to get really impacted. And so I think, it was about the time, probably about 4 or 5 days, maybe a week before we actually got suspended, I was like, I knew everything was heading that way.
Yeah, it just kind of, and then when the NBA suspended and Rudy Gobert got tested positive, that changed everything. And I think it was only just a matter of time a couple days later. I've been asking these questions all week, and the people I've been interviewing since the pandemic, is the toilet paper crisis a real thing where you are, like it is for me up here in Connecticut?
It is a real thing. It is a very real thing.
I don't get it. Do you get it?
I don't. That was the first thing when I got home. I made sure, I was like, asked my husband, I'm like, do we have enough toilet paper? He's like, yeah. I was like, I'm not worried about running, like, not having it. I'm worried about when we run out of, if we have enough, are we going to go get more?
Right.
But we're okay for right now. But yeah, you go down the toilet paper aisle and it's like relatively empty. And I'm just like, why that of all things? Was there a message I missed that toilet paper solved the coronavirus?
Yeah, I don't get that. Hopefully it'll be back in stock pretty soon. Kat Osterman is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. Let's learn about your story. This was originally why we wanted to have you on anyways, before the whole pandemic, and certainly to talk about the Olympics, but we wanted to hear your story of sports intersecting with your story of faith in Christ. So take us back, maybe when you were a kid, certainly where softball started entering the picture for you, and even maybe where your faith was during that time.
I think my story, it's a good one. I grew up in a Catholic family, and I went to church every Sunday and Sunday school. Baptism, communion, all of that, confession, confirmation. I went through all of it. Mm-hmm. And about the time I was in confirmation, they made a comment to us about, you know, if you don't feel like your relationship with the Lord is at a point where you should be doing this, you need to talk to your parents. And I didn't really feel like I had a relationship with the Lord at that point in time. Granted, I get it as a parent. So when I went home and it was like, no, this is the time that fits in your softball schedule, you're going to go through with it. Sure. And not a forced, but just, there's really not another time. So I was confirmed, and then, you know, you go to college and you have the choice on Sundays if you're going to go to church or if you're going to decide to sleep in. And, for me, sleeping in and going to the softball field, took precedence. And so slowly but surely, I kind of drifted. And I know my mom was born and raised Catholic, went to Catholic school all the way through her schooling prior to college. So I know that tugged at her a little bit. I would still go to church when I'd go home with them most of the time. But I just kind of, I drifted from it. And then just not really ever feeling the void. Didn't really think much about it until probably till I was like 27, 28, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, finally I just, maybe even later than that. The first step was I got asked to be on the board of RBI Austin and help them introduce softball, which I was so, so excited about, like complete gung ho. Yeah. Let's help underprivileged kids and girls be able to play the sport. It's a great sport. Yeah. And then they explain that each RBI chapter essentially gets to have their own kind of pillar that you use sport to help. Some of them it's community service, some of them it's education, you know, different things. And RBI Austin is faith-based mentoring. And I was like, okay, cool. Still gung-ho about this, but then in my heart, I'm like, how am I associated with this faith-based organization when like I'm not in my faith? So I kind of felt like I was half in. I still helped with the softball stuff, and the people there would invite me to go to church with them if I wanted. And I put it off quite a few times. And I actually had a family, long story short, through Texas baseball recruiting, I had kept in touch with one of their recruits that ended up not coming to school. And his family and I connected, and the two boys, they had found their faith again. And so I talked to them quite a bit about it. And finally I reached out to one of them and I was talking, and they were like, just go to church by yourself. Like, don't go with anybody else. So you don't have any expectations. Just go by yourself. So finally I swallowed my pride and I went to church by myself. And I'm pretty sure I cried the entire service. I sat at least four chairs away from everybody. So I don't think anybody noticed that this girl was just sitting by herself bawling. But, and then after that, I started going to church with some of the people from RBI, and slowly but surely got myself in a place where I wanted to explore my faith more, and I wanted to explore that relationship. And I think I drifted because nothing against the Catholic religion at all. I just, for whatever reason, didn't latch on to how to have a relationship. Trust me, I know the Our Father, the Hail Marys, stand, sit, kneel, all of that. But I didn't have a relationship. And so once I got that relationship, even minuscule started, it just blew up. And it's been awesome ever since. I met my husband, and I got really offended that he didn't ask me to go to church with him the first time that I had stayed at his apartment. And it was a Sunday morning. He like left and went to church. I'm like, all right, cool, bro, I'll go home.
What about me?
And then that night he called me and I didn't answer because I was at church. And he was like, where were you? I was like, well, you didn't invite me to church. So I went to church. But then when we started going to church together, actually, our pastor recognized me at one point in time and recognized me in the middle, well, not in the middle, but after Mass. And the women's pastor actually tracked me down. And then from there on, her and I have had a strong relationship and continued to just dive into the faith. I've read the Bible all the way through twice now with her, talking about it every day. And slowly but surely, I'm able to actually share that with other people and not scared to share it, obviously, on social media. And so that's kind of been the cool thing, is being able to share it. And I think more than anything now, one, I have teammates that I can share it with. I know you guys have interviewed Jamie before, but knowing I'm in a place where as a team, I'm not going to fall off the rails at all. Like, I have people to talk about it to, and seeing how big in their faith they are, that's huge. In the years past, not that we didn't have faithful people, Jenny Finch and Leah, Brian Amico shared their faith quite a bit, but it's just more of a community on this team now, which is really cool to see. And I know Jenny and Leah would be proud that this team has that. So it's interesting. It's fun. I mean, it's a long, complicated story. And I'm like, I don't know why at 38, I finally feel like I'm in a really, really strong place in my faith. I wish it had happened sooner. But at the same time, right now, there's so many parents that are like, you know, I love that you share Bible verses. Like, I'm showing my daughter it's okay to be a strong athlete, a role model, and be Christian. And like, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Like, I'm all for it, because I think, not like I said, I didn't feel the void, but I look back now and there's a small something missing to the first part of my career. And it definitely would have been my relationship with the Lord.
We'll get back to our conversation with Kat Osterman in just a moment. I want to tell you a little bit about our friends at IJM, International Justice Mission. And while we sit here and learn about the reality of slavery through IJM, there are thousands of traffickers using all of their power to keep people enslaved forever, all because slavery is profitable. They simply value money more than human life. These slave owners are relentless, calculated, tenacious, unafraid to use their power, money, and influence to oppress others. That's why we must act. Each one of us here needs to partner and consider partnering with IJM to become a freedom partner. These freedom partners give $24 or more to IJM each month and are given regular opportunities to pray and advocate with IJM for the end of slavery. The single largest barrier to IJM freeing millions of slaves is a lack of financial resources. Without the monthly giving of freedom partners like you and I, slavery will not end. And it's simple. IJM knows where the slaves are and has a plan to rescue them. And because of freedom partners, IJM is setting slaves free and putting their owners behind bars. Check out the website ijm.org/tf and join the fight and become a freedom partner today. We're also presented by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. We're talking about caring Christian adults in the local church, knowing every child by name, whether they are sick or well, struggling or excelling, and walking each child into discovering their God-given talents and calling. Compassion sponsors, like you and me, are helping over 2 million children in 25 countries, and yet it's never larger than one child at a time, one day at a time, one sponsor at a time. You will never regret your $38 a month tax-deductible sponsorship through Compassion. As I said, they are the most trusted child development ministry around. It's just the truth. And here's what they do. They allow you and I to release a child from poverty. Think about that. Releasing a child from poverty. Food, education, medical care, vocational training, all done in the name of Jesus. Check out their website, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and pray about sponsoring a child today. Now back to our conversation with Kat Osterman, Olympic gold medal winning softball player here on Sports Spectrum. Your story is beautiful, and it's actually very similar to mine. I grew up very similar Catholic church, did my confirmation, my first communion, but I never heard the word, and again, I'm going to preface this by saying this is not a knock on any particular religion or denomination either, because my grandfather was a devout Catholic and he loved Jesus before he passed. But I never heard the word relationship. It was weird for me when I first started my relationship with the Lord. I was 27 or so as well. Can you describe the difference for you between, and maybe encourage those listening who might not understand the difference between religion and relationship and why that really made the difference for you?
I think the biggest difference for me is just knowing every day when I wake up that there's something way more important than anything on my to-do list, anything that's going to happen on a softball field, anything, period. I mean, like, I wake up every morning and I have a devotional I read, and then I read my two chapters of the Bible that my women's pastor and I still use text messaging to talk about. And it's just knowing that that part of my day, one, starts it with a reminder that there's something bigger, but at the same time that I'm here for a purpose and it's His purpose and I'm going to fulfill it, but that it's bigger than anything I have to do today or tomorrow. And, you know, the interesting part is now that we have so much downtime, being told to stay home because of coronavirus, it's like you can tap into that even more. And now I'm sitting here like, okay, how else can I spread messages and how else can I do things, in order to share my faith, even though, you know, we're not out in public anymore right now. And, that's just a testament of calling. And the relationship piece, the huge part with me is like, finally, once, and it's, again, it took probably until about a year and a half to 2 years ago, but I felt like I had a relationship where I was talking to Him, but now I actually can feel or hear, however you want to say it, like Him pulling me in different directions to do different things. Where before it was, you know, driven by whether it was what's going to make money or what logistically fit in my schedule. Like now sometimes I actually have urges or ideas that I know are a calling versus just a want.
Hmm. Identity, Kat, is such a big thing in sports, especially for those at the top of their game, like you've been for so many years. What's the evolution of that look like for you from that 21-year-old kid winning an Olympic gold medal and dominating in college to where you are now here in 2020 as far as identity?
You know, I think the 21-year-old and even the 25-year-old that was pitching and won the silver medal, that was a softball player and pretty much just a softball player. I think the only other thing you could have possibly added or that I would have said is like, I was a good friend to, you know, my very close circle of friends. But outside of that, I know I didn't embrace the role model, identity too much. I didn't embrace a whole lot, other than I'm getting to play softball and that's what I'm going to do for however long I can do it. Didn't think it was going to take me to 38, but
right.
Where now, and slowly over time, you know, you add coach in there as they started coaching, and then, you know, I get married, you can add wife, and now you can add stepmom or bonus mom, in there. But at the same time now, like the most important thing I want to be known is like, as a Christian. I try, obviously we're not perfect by any means, but I try each day to be better and walk in the path that I feel like He's leading me. And, I'm still continuing to work on things like not cussing, because I know that's not very nice, but you know, it's a process to get rid of it. But
guilty.
Right. But you know, when I finally in like social media bios, like put Christian or follower of Him or however I worded it, it was so refreshing, because I was like, you know what? I remember specifically not long, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and maybe even longer than that. I think I posted one religious thing when I was first starting to get my path to trying to figure out how to get back to the Lord. And some guy tweeted me back and wrote, I love you and have loved following you, but you're just getting too faithy on me.
Too faithy. Like, one like, time.
Wow. I've posted one, maybe two things. Like, yeah. Okay. So then that was sitting in my mind, like, is this okay to do? Like, and then finally you realize, you know what? I don't care who I offend if I'm sharing my faith. Like, if my faith offends you, I'm not saying you can't have yours, but if me sharing mine offends you, then obviously I'm not meant to be your role model, or I'm not meant to be an influence in your life, I feel like. So, yeah. So once I finally kind of got to the point where I'll post it, and if nobody comments, that's fine. It does really kind of blow my mind that you can like put a picture of a dog and it'll get 8,000 likes, and you put a Bible verse and it gets like 200, but so be it.
But it's the 200 that, you know, the 8,000 likes of your dog will open up a door for potentially reading a Bible verse on your social media page, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Kat Osterman. Do people say that, by the way? I've been saying Kat Osterman because Kat and at. Am I the first? Please tell me I'm not the first person.
You're not the first person.
Okay, good. Because I'm trying to be professional here and I'm really screwing it up. But no, Kat Osterman is joining us here on Sports Spectrum. Last couple questions here with Kat. Let me ask you, we didn't really talk about the moment that you realized you wanted to unretire from softball to come back and be part of the Olympic team. Can you take us back to that moment?
Yeah. Again, that literally is I felt a calling. I felt, don't get me wrong, the competitive athlete in me, once the idea was put in my head, wanted to run with it too. But the more I sat down and thought about it, I had, through social media, connected with Aubrey Monroe a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was that had pushed me to reach out, but somehow we had connected. And, so I've kind of gotten to know her. Obviously I'd followed Janie and them a little bit on Church in the Dirt and stuff. And, so then the idea to come play again kind of gets thrown around in my head, and I'm talking about it and thinking about it. And then finally one day it was like, you know what? There's a reason that somehow I was compelled to reach out to Aubrey when I didn't really even know the girl. I mean, obviously I'd watched her play at Florida, but yeah. I had no relationship with her whatsoever, other than following her on social media. And having spent maybe a couple hours in a scrimmage, because I had talked about playing again, and I went down to throw to make sure that that was still possible, and she was there, but still yeah. didn't strike up a friendship there. It was more of just a chance meeting kind of thing. And so the more pieces aligned, I was like, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. And I felt like, for two reasons. One, I genuinely wanted to help this generation that thought they weren't going to have an Olympic dream to be able to have an Olympic dream and be able to see that dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was still in a physical capability where I could help the team do that. And then twofold, I think in my journey is, you know, I have my own personal time with Christ, but I don't talk about it a lot. But obviously Janie, Aubrey, Allie, they all do, which is so cool. And so I think I was supposed to help them hopefully achieve their softball dreams. And I think along the line, they'll be able to help me get out of just having my personal relationship and sharing it a little more. And I have a little bit, it's been cool. And, you know, Janie specifically has led some things that I try to go wholeheartedly and dive into and be vulnerable a little bit, but, I just think it's a twofold. And so I looked at it as an opportunity for both to help them. But at the same time, I felt like I would be able to grow from these people, from these women that have been walking with faith, with Christ so faithfully and outwardly for a while.
And then you actually have to try out and make the team, right? Like, they're not just saying, well, you're Kat Osterman, let's just put you on the team. You had to actually make it, right?
Yes, I did. So I actually decided to play again probably in the fall of 2017. I didn't make that public until October of 2018. And then, yeah, in January of 2019, I had to try out. So while a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you only had 3.5 months. I'm like, no, I knew for a year and 3.5 months that this is what I was going to do. Right. But yeah, I had to go through the whole tryout thing again, which I was laughing. I was like, I think that was my 11th tryout. And probably the most nerve wracking one of all, because while yes, I knew for a year and 3 months, I still wasn't seeing live hitters. I wasn't playing competitively like some of these other girls were. I literally was just training on my own and was like, we're going to go make the best of it, because I didn't want to have to resign from work in order to go play professionally or something to get back in like game shape. So
yeah,
it was clearly the most nerve wracking, and not to mention you go to this tryout and I knew, I think, maybe five of the people trying out that I had actually either played with or tried out with before, and everyone else was brand new and super young, and they know of you, you know of them, and I don't really know what they know of me other than being a pitcher. Right. So it was nerve-wracking, but it was fun. And then, yeah, that is probably the only roster announcement that I've ever seen that, like, I actually cried, because I was just so many emotions and so much time of putting in to get back to that spot. But to see it all pay off was awesome.
Can only imagine. This has been great. Thank you so much for being here, Kat. And as we close, the last question, and we asked this to all of our guests, we actually had Aubrey on as well on the show. We had Janie, we've had Jenny Finch on. We asked them all this question: what's the great lesson the Lord is showing you and teaching you right now? We all get taught something new. I like to tell people every day from God, he showing you? What's he teaching you right now?
I think my favorite verse, and it hangs by my bedside, is we walk by faith, not by sight. And I think right now, more than anything, the other day I was trying to journal as to like what this environment is putting us through. And I think that more than anything is what he keeps telling me right now, is like, there's a reason that's my favorite verse. And right now we have to walk by faith, because we don't see what the future looks like. We don't really know when this is going to end or how it's going to end, but, you know, we have to have faith that it will, and then everything will be okay at the end. And, you know, even for us as a team, like, we just have to have the faith that it's going to all play out. We're going to get to go to Tokyo and play. But, you know, it's kind of, I keep saying, we're not in control. Like, we only can control so much. And so we have to remember that. But at the same time, while we're not in control, we have to have faith that he who is in control is going to put us in the right position.
That's good wisdom there from Kat Osterman, Olympic gold medal winning softball player. Hopefully you'll be a two-time Olympic gold medal winning softball player. We'll see. But Kat, this has been great. Thanks so much for sharing your softball story, but even more sharing your story of faith. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Great stuff there from Kat Osterman, Olympic gold medal winning softball player. And listen, I mean, she's just one of the greatest softball players we've seen in, at least in the last 30 years, if not ever. Her numbers, I read all the accolades in the beginning of the interview, and certainly being a two-time Olympian and hopefully a three-time Olympian as we get ready for what looks like now is going to be the 2021 Summer Olympics. But I really do appreciate Kat for coming on and sharing her faith story. It's a good one, and it's one that's still a work in progress, but honestly, we all are. We are all a work in progress. We've never made it. Nobody's perfect, and I don't care how you sound or what kind of platform you have. Stay humble and remember that none of us have made it to where we got to be until we leave this earth. But Kat Osterman, man, what a great testimony and a great encouragement for me. Check her out on Twitter at Kat Osterman. She's also on Instagram as well. Give her a follow there. Tag her. Let her know that you heard her story here on Sports Spectrum. We appreciate Kat. We also appreciate you for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsors today, IJM, International Justice Mission, and Compassion International. We love them both and are so glad that they are partners with us here in the Sports Spectrum Ministry. Check out our website, sportspectrum.com. That's the home base for all of our content, the intersection of sports and faith. And do us a favor, whatever app that you're listening to this podcast on, click that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. We've got a ton of interviews, a ton of archival content that you can go back and listen to right there on Sports Spectrum. Just appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. I hope you all have a great rest of your day, and stay safe.